Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
That is, I seek protection with God from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM radio listening audience, salam alaikum, and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, where Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir examine the value, beautiful keys to Islamic courtship and marriage life. Being a learning lab, we learn together. With that said, we are sharing lessons that, inshallah, lead to a beautiful and memorable wedding day and a fulfilling, harmonious married life full of faith, trust, affection, peace, and joy. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my joy to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. And while we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, please share the joy of this program. Let your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab right here on IWDM Radio. And to do that, all that you need to do is tell them to join you by dialing 714-816-4673. And now, dear listeners, without further ado, it is my honor and my pleasure to present my co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to our very distinguished, esteemed IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation. I am Mark Shaheed, host, facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. We began all the way back in the month of October, October the 13th, in the year 2015 on our sister station AM 360, and it has continued here on IWDM Radio. And Quran and I would love to welcome you to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and those of you who listen in for the first time, we want you to know and feel free to call in that this is in your learning lab to ask any questions or make any comments on any of the information or education that be disseminated tonight or in past learning labs and all. And for those of you, as Quran has already said, that listening by way of the internet, we would love for you to be engaged in this learning lab. But for you to do that, we want to say, hey, please bring your tools, and that means just a sharp pencil or ink pen and plenty of notebook paper, because we believe that some noteworthy things will be said tonight, and bring an open mind, open heart to this learning lab, and for you to be involved listening by way of the internet. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. And as Gran has said, this is an excellent opportunity for those of you who are already online, ready to listen and be engaging in this learning lab. Contact family, friends, colleagues, neighbors, community members, that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is in session. We also want you to know that this Learning Lab has a foundation, and there's three sources that we use to form the foundation for disseminating information and education in regards to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, like the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The first source is Al-Quran. Al-Quran is the final revelation that is for all of humanity, not just for Muslims, for all of humanity. So you don't have to be a Muslim to listen to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and benefit from that. And the life example demonstrating the Quran by Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the prayers and peace be upon the Prophet. And the third source that we use is a tafsir, the clear explanation by our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. These are the three sources that form the foundation for disseminating information and education here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So we want you to relax, and we got an excellent learning lab tonight, special guests and everything. Gran going to be introduced in a little bit. But it has been traditional here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab for many years to always have an overview, a review of what we covered the previous week. And nobody does it better than my partner, Karan Shaq here. Always, it's a delight to hear your voice, Karan. Once again, assalamu alaikum to you, Karan Shaq here.
Wa alaikum assalam, and it's a wonderful joy also to share this platform with you. And to our listening audience, we greet you again, assalamu alaikum. And just to give you a recap of what we covered last week, as you know, we have been covering the subject, the true love recipe. And so we've been making these posts on our social media, what is true love? And we even have an assignment for you that inshallah we'll get to tonight. But last week, alhamdulillah, we had wonderful guest, Judge David Shaheed, and his wife of 53 years, Sister Brenda. And they were a dynamic couple. They shared their story with us to share that they met when they were, quote unquote, just kids. And they have been Muslim now for 50 plus years. So the first 1 or 2 years of their marriage, they were not Muslim, but they made that choice to be Muslim, and then raise their children Muslim and have had this beautiful Muslim marriage. So they said that they grew in Islam together, and I think that was an important note for us to understand about them. They grew in Islam together, and she said that she was working in a department store. That's where she met him, and he was a college football player who was in her town at the college on a football scholarship. And he wasn't really interested in her. So I thought it was really interesting that she noted sometimes a woman has to take the lead in choosing that man and even helping him to understand this way you need to be. And that was a part of what they did as a part of that. She made an important point. She said women should not look for a man to choose her, but rather know the qualities that she wants in a man and then be when she sees those qualities. And that was a part of that process that she used. She said that one of the attractions that she had to Islam was the idea of family life. And that was a part of her value system. She valued family life. And Judge David said that he found it interesting. He was attracted to her when he saw her with one of her nieces holding her, and he could see her nurturing nature. And that was something that he wanted in his life. And he also noted that he never left Allah out of the picture. And so that is something they both did, is that they kept Allah in the picture for their relationship. So in their years of working together, they said that They had a lot of challenges, but keeping Allah in the picture helped them to solidify the relationship itself and to move beyond the challenges and to really see it as a part of the process of marriage. In defining true love, one of the things that we noted last week is that Allah has given a powerful ayat with an instructing sign, and that is in Surah 30, ayat 21, where Allah says, and of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them, and he placed between you affection and mercy, and that are signs for people who give thought. And we looked at the fifth verse also of Al-Fatiha, where we're making that dua for God's guidance. And so with that, then, we looked at this concept of love as a gift from Allah, and then Allah guides us to what we need when we're looking for love and stability in a relationship, and that love is not the driving. It is that love of Allah that drives us. And when that love of Allah is the driving force, then all the other characteristics of the relationship fall into place. We talked about some A's as we're looking at the true love recipe, and one of the A's was attentiveness. And attentiveness in a relationship is an important ingredient. Attentiveness changes with time. It is full of butterflies, and then when you are married and you have children, your attentiveness is towards the children and what you have to do with them. And then as you get older, you have time for just the two of you. And this message that I'm giving is from our couple. And love gets better as time goes on. If you are able to hang in there, they said, you will find that the longer you are together, you gain more attentiveness in that relationship. And the idea of attentiveness is attending to the comfort or the wishes of others and being polite and courteous. That was the definition that we looked up. The other A is appreciation. And with appreciation, then we looked at how Allah tells us in Surah 14, Ayat 7, if you are grateful, I will give you more. So that appreciation, Allah builds and gives you more when you show appreciation. And we also looked at Surah 55, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? And so appreciation for all the gifts that Allah has given us in his creation and in one another. So we have to appreciate one another to feel valued. We grow differently, but giving space for that growth is a way to show appreciation. The third A that we looked at was affection. An affection can be a smile, listening, laughter, showing that you care and that you want your partner, your mate, your spouse to be happy. That is affection, as well as the other things we've learned about. And then again in Surah 30, Ayat 21, where Allah says of his signs that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them, Allah says he placed between you affection and mercy. So affection is something we can get from Allah himself. It is a gift from Allah. So the other thing that we notice is that we are social beings who do need affection, and we do need love. And therefore, within the folds of Islam, the Quran encourages us to find a companion and a spouse who can in turn help us understand the importance and the joy in sharing affection and mercy between the two people. And Allah, alhamdulillah, is the most merciful, the one who shows affection. Our assignment for today is that we ask you all to look at B3, and that will be the three B's. One B, basic things to do in a loving relationship and how it would look without those basic things. The second B is boundaries. Should there be boundaries in a relationship? And we'll discuss that. And then the third B is bonding. How should bonding look in a truly loving relationship? Those are the things we covered last week. And, of course, you know what I'm going to say. I didn't give you all of the jewels. So you can go back to the archives and listen to the show yourself so that you can get even more from it, inshallah. Mark, to you.
Yes, alhamdulillah. For those who don't know, that just simply means The praise and the thanks belongs to God, first and foremost. And I want to just say kudos to Quran Shakir. I mean, what a substantive overview. Some highlights from last week, and please go back to the archives and retrieve it all, but some excellent highlights last week. We want to say this will be an ongoing thing, and you, inshallah, will hear from time to time outstanding couples, just as Quran just mentioned last week, the Honorable Judge David and his wife Brenda Shahid, and we have an outstanding couple tonight, and Quran will be introducing. And Quran and I, we really want you to really, really be engaged in this learning lab. I want to just say this is my true love recipe, but you know, like a recipe, there can always be some addendums. So we want you to be thinking. There's I'm not in opposition to you making addendums in terms of what would be in your recipe, or even if some of the qualities and characteristics that I have given some deep thought over the years in terms of it being organic, natural, no artificial colors or flavors. We don't need that in the true love recipe. And all the preservatives are organic and natural, naturally designed to preserve, to maintain and sustain true love in the sacred institution of marriage. But we can see that these qualities and characteristics also can and will serve us well in the other sacred institution of family life, and also in terms of community life. But because this is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and it becomes the gateway to actually establishing the true family life, the functional family life, through the sacred institution of marriage, that we want it to be known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, who is perfect, He is the one, you understand, that is the source in terms of love. We don't have to look for love, be searching for love in all the wrong places. Allah has already said, just as Quran just so eloquently articulated, in terms of the affection, the love, and the mercy. And by the way, mercy is one of those qualities and characteristics that's in the true love recipe. I want to apologize. I didn't get the bill, but I think I got some keys that can and will make some noise. If in fact that I hear inadvertently or maybe consciously some of the qualities and characteristics that can and will be said, perhaps by our special guest facilitators tonight. And so with no further ado, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Quran Shakir, and you have the honor of introducing outstanding standout couple tonight that will introduce themselves to our radio listening audience. Quran?
I am very excited to do just that. I am going to ask them if they would please push one on their phone, and that way I can see them in the queue and bring them into open their mics to be on the program. But I want to say that this particular couple, I know I've known them for a long time, and both of them, the reason I thought they would be a wonderful couple for us to share with our radio listening audience is because both of them have years and years of marriage already under their belt. And over the course of this program, we've had some of our guests who have lost hope for marriage. And I think it's beautiful that this couple who are in their seasoned years chose marriage even after, you know, years of being married and then not being married. They have chosen marriage. So I want to go ahead and introduce our brother Lawrence Shamsuddin and Sister Rakaya Hamid to our radio listening audience. So, Sister Rakaya, I've opened your mic, and I don't know if the two of you are together, or not. So, Brother Lawrence, if you are on a separate phone, just push 1, and I'll bring you in. So I just want to bring both of you on and thank you for being our guest this evening and offer the greetings to you. Assalamu alaikum.
You bring on.
You're on. Your mic is open. You can speak now.
Okay.
Sister Rekaya, Brother Lawrence, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam to everyone. This is Brother Lawrence Shamsuddin. Thank you all very much, and thank you for the introduction. We're enjoying it so far. thank Allah above all for his blessings. We'll try to get online. You can try your daughter and see if she can get us on FaceTime. You want on FaceTime, Sister Quran?
No, sir. No, no. You just being on the phone is all you need to do.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
you're on the program. Everybody can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you, Brother Shamsuddin. You're coming in loud and clear, so you're good. Yes, sir. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I've been blessed. I've been married. This is my second marriage. I've been married to my wife, the first one, for 60 years. Alhamdulillah, wonderful. Being a Muslim for a little over 60 years, 61 years is a blessing. And she was passed about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
The individual, I'm 83 now, was 82. I was looking for companionship, you know,
mm-hmm.
being by myself. To enjoy, just enjoying the religion, enjoying myself, having someone there with me, just talking and doing things together. So the person I married, Sister Rekaya, I had known her over 40-some years, and we were some very good friends, her and my wife, previous wife, Ida Shamsuddin. We was very close friends, and we did a lot of traveling and socializing together. So alhamdulillah, I think Allah guided me to her. I didn't have no idea I was going to marry her. You asked me that. He's the best knower. He's the best knower. So we just having a wonderful honeymoon. This is going on our 7th month of marriage. So we really it's really wonderful. You got to learn how to work together as
mm-hmm.
a couple. Whoever you are, you've been married for 2 years and looking to get married. So we're trying to find someone that I was looking for someone as a companionship, someone who loves the religion of Islam. And, you know, we do things together. We pray together, fast together, go to Juma together. And we just have a wonderful one of the time. We take this very, very serious, especially me and my age. You know, how long I'll be here. So I'm going to do my best to treat her with highly love and respect for her and working together, as Sister Quran spoke of earlier, and showing affection for her and just having a ball, just having a good time. And some of the things I was looking for in getting married was in a companionship, someone who's close the way I am. We both, we love family. We love the community. We love people in general, you know, especially our Muslim community. And we can set the outer community also. And so we greet people with love and respect to an individual. So, and Quran mentioned about affection. We just go all out, Sister Rekaya, to show affection for myself by making sure that I'm happy, I'm all right. And you would like to have some coffee, that you want something to drink, want something to eat on your coffee, you know. I know I'm fine. I can do certain things myself. But it's a blessing to have that link with you, that you can sit down and talk and conversate, and whether being by yourself. We watch shows together, TV. We sit back and eat popcorn and laugh and talk. And don't make it so serious in your life. you know, and everything not going to be 100%, but we just laugh at each other. You know, we've been through it. We just have a good time. I just tease her. She just laughs and come back and tease me. And we just both laugh at her and just go ahead on. So we learn each other. We learn a lot about each other. And just being with each other, we plan another road trip, this travel together, whether we're flying or driving, and just have a good time socializing with other mm-hmm. Muslims, going to meet other Muslims in other cities and talking to them. It's just a wonderful and a blessing from Allah. I thank Allah for a wonderful marriage going on 7 months of honeymoon, and we hope to be a honeymoon until Allah come and call us home, inshallah. So I'm going to let my new wife talk to y'all, Sister Kaya, and give a little information. If a question or the audience have any questions, I'll do my best to answer, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Hi, Sister Kaya.
Wa alaikum as-salam.
Wa alaikum as-salam.
Wa alaikum as-salam, everyone.
Wa alaikum as-salam. So what is your story,
ma'am.
Sister Kaya?
My story was apparently similar to Lawrence's. I love traveling. I love going, and I have a sister who was my soulmate. She ended up having an illness that has put her in a wheelchair, so she's not able to do what she used to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that left me feeling quite alone because I like traveling. I have a cerebral palsy daughter that's 52 years old. She's been total care all her life. And I kept in those 2 months that I would go to Cancun, I was going to start having to miss it because I didn't have a companion.
Mm.
And I didn't want to go, and I need, you know, and, you know, you don't, this day and time, I couldn't see myself traveling with a woman or women because we need protection. Because you never know when you're traveling to and from and you don't have a male in the group. You know, you're just, hey, can be unsafe. But anyway, I started thinking about companionship. So that's basically where I stood. And the companionship has been wonderful, though. I have to say that we've known each other, and it's best to really know someone that you would like to have a relationship with, but most of all, know them, because if they've had years in the past, and if you don't know anything about their character, you don't know anybody who knows them, you know, you really don't really get to know him that much.
Mm. Sister Retire, you also had long years of marriage. Would you share with that? How long were you married before, and how long, what's the length of time since your husband passed before you decided to remarry?
You know, that's, anyway, I will say, I have been married 4 times. My first husband was killed in Vietnam. We were only married for about 3 years. My second husband, who introduced me to Islam, he was, I was married to him for about 2 years, and he was killed, and he passed. But anyway, then I married Charles, my third husband. He was my longest husband.
Mm-hmm.
And when he passed, but 14 years ago, I'm thinking, hey, this is it for me. You know, I had my sister to go and travel with, and she was my best friend. So I was satisfied. I never thought that getting married again would be in the cards for me. Never even thought about it. And when it was flowing that way, it was a wonderful experience. I won't have to be by myself. I can still travel and enjoy the world. And it's just so many things that has been such a blessing, just having a friend, you know. You know, we know each other, not a stranger to me. We have personalities that are so together. You know, we just laugh and act like children around here at times. We even have what we call movie night, and every night we watch something, and we eat popcorn. We have a good time. And it's just, you know, and being older, if I have an ache and a pain, I don't have to get up. He'll wait on me. If he has an ache and a pain, I get up and wait on him. So we just have established a very good relationship with each other. And it's really joyful. And I never thought at 80 years old that I would be remarrying again. But it is wonderful.
Alhamdulillah.
But above all, get to know somebody who knows the person that they're going to spend the balance of their life with, because you might not get what you think you have until you start living with them.
Because you're older and this decision, so many, like you said, you didn't even think about remarrying. That wasn't in the playbook for you. It wasn't something you were really thinking about. And that's what we have found. We hear from a lot of our listening audience who, once they're over 65 or 70, they're like, I've done it. Don't need to do it again. But I hear you also when you talk about companionship, and that's from both of you. You talk about this wonderful thing of companionship. And I think that is a beautiful thing, that you can find that in somebody. And I love your formula where you said to pick someone that you know and you trust. And then Brother Lawrence, I heard yours where you looked at her value system and how it aligned with yours. And then the one thing I've highlighted here is friendship. Because both of you were friends. And so you trust each other, and inside of that is that trust. So why not just be friends? Why did you choose marriage at this time?
Well, you know, marriage brings other things on. You know, you can still have friendship, which is good. But, you know, sometimes friendship might carry some people over the line. So marriage, why not do it right? Because just like with Lawrence had an aunt that passed, and we went to Virginia to the funeral. But I let him know that we were going to need a companion before we go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not a companion, a chaperone.
I know what you mean, a chaperone.
Yeah, so his niece went with us, and we had an awesome time. So being a Muslim, I'm going to do my religion right. Ain't going to be no playing, no hanky-panky and all that stuff. So I'm striving to live life of a righteous Muslim.
Alhamdulillah.
So we take that very, very serious. So every Lord bless us. Every morning we're blessed to get up and make our Fajr prayer together, complete Ramadan. She did the whole month of Ramadan, the extra days. So I was watching everything she do. And make sure she's up on her religion and I'm up on top of the religion. So I'm looking for a helper that make me a better individual, and give her praise and thanks to Allah. So we're both doing the same thing, and just love the community, love you all, and just give them thanks to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. I'm going to pause, Mark, in case you have questions. And just to remind our radio listening audience, because we have a lot of people who come just for you. I can tell they came just to hear you. So alhamdulillah. But I'm going to remind our radio listening audience, if you're listening online, you can join us in the studio by dialing 714-816-4673. If you're in the studio and you have questions or comments for our couple, you can push 1 on your phone, and we will bring you into the queue as well. So, Mark, before we do that, I am going to let you ask any questions you may have.
Yes, alhamdulillah. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah. First and foremost, Sister Rukaya and Brother Shamsuddin, it's truly, truly an honor to have both of you here on IWDN Radio and on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I mean, I just can't keep from just smiling. I'm hearing the exuberance in both of you all's voice and all the excitement. I'm hearing you, Brother Shamsuddin, 7 months in, you still on your honeymoon. Oh, I said, that's a big alhamdulillah. And I've listened to my dear Sister Rekaya in terms of not wanting to transgress boundaries, and this is one of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight in the True Love Recipe. And if you heard of some keys rattling, I said before you came on, I was supposed to get some type of little bell or something, and I failed to do it. Just a lot of things, and it just didn't cross my mind, to be perfectly honest, in that regard. But every time I heard something in the True Love Recipe from A to Z, that's what we're going to be doing this, inshallah, where there's qualities and characteristics, and most certainly both of you actually said some of those things. And, you know, as Quran noted, companionship continuously rang out in my ears and all. Mm-hmm. I got to ask you this question. You know, of course, it has been said already that generally speaking, at the age that you are, a whole lot of older senior members, pioneer members in our community, at this age say, well, as Sister Rukaya said, I guess it's over for me. You know, I'm thinking about marriage, which led me to the question. And I got to ask this question, to you first, Brother Shamsuddin. Who took the initiative? Who made the first step? Was it you? Or what? You're laughing already. Who took the first initiative, you know, to ignite this relationship? Everything has to be initiated, so we want our radio listening audience to hear from both of you in that regard. Okay. If you did, then we want you to say that, and then I'm going to ask whoever initiated, you know, to say that, and then I want to get the response from the person that did not initiate it, but what was their response? Brother Shamsuddin, go to you.
Okay, that's a good question. I guess you don't want to believe me. I think maybe 50-50. 50-50.
You're not trying to ease out on this, are you, Shamsuddin? But somebody got to make the first step or the first move in regards to that, because, you know, I've listened very attentively, which I think is very, very important. It can't be underscored in terms of friendship. This is what Quran and myself, we actually teach here on the Learning Lab, that if you, the person that you actually have an interest in, there should be maybe say a friendship. But if it's not, oftentimes a lot of people that you become interested in, you don't know. But in the natural progression of the relationship, even in the courtship phase, friendship should at least develop, and it should be continued even more. And ultimately, the goal becomes that that potential mate eventually, over a period of time, will become your best friend. So
yes.
Who took the first step, Shamsuddin?
I may have moved up. I may have said 51%, then.
I had to squeeze that out of you like that last little toothpaste in the tube there, Shamsuddin. So you took the first step, and what was that first step? Give us a little bit more detail, and then I'm going to go to Rekaya and to get her response in terms of that 51% that you've given yourself.
Like Sister Rekaya mentioned, we had known each other for 40-some years, and her previous husband was a very close friend of mine also. and we just travel and did things together and, you know, visit people and just have a wonderful time. So I had no one watching her, the history of her. I wouldn't even think about marrying her one day. I'd just watch her. I had qualities in her. So as the time went by, I guess after my wife had passed, I didn't have no relationship. Especially in the afternoon, you know, you'd be lonesome for seniors. Just somebody to sit down and have coffee with you, or to eat with you, or go anywhere with you. You feel lonesome, you know. So I guess me knowing her as much as I did, I kind of leaned towards us and just praying a lot, asked a lot of God there. And I guess a lot, God's the best knowing that I feel in this situation to bring good feeling, happiness, and good time for the both of us.
So, Brother Chastity, one more question for you, then I'm going to go to your wife. In terms of that, I want to get her response. So this 51%, you inform us that you initiated. Did it happen with just giving a telephone call, since you all had known each other for a long period of time, and or did you see her at the masjid, say, I'd like to talk with you, have an interest, or anything of that nature you can share with us?
Sometimes she will order special food, and I drop it off. And sometimes I'm not even going by there, you know, I drop it off. We sat in the garage, two rocking chairs. In the garage. In the garage, you don't believe it. People come by and wave at her, and I wave back at them too, you know. But and she was a very good close friend of my wife, also very, very, very close. So I had known a lot about her previously. So I had put her on a list. I was on start a list of the top 10 sisters.
potentials, huh? So you had a potential list. Okay, that's what we want to hear, potential list there. Alhamdulillah. I got to get you in here, my dear sister, Rakaya. So... What was your response? He's saying, first he said 50-50, but I got him to fess up, Rakaya, and he said 51% his initiative. So Rakaya, how did you respond? Were you surprised? I mean, of course, you already established, you all have known each other for years and years, you know, even when you were married and everything, and a friendship had already developed, you knew a little something about him. But what was your emotional state when he started bringing you food and all of this? What came to your mind at that time, Rakaya?
Well, what happened was I would always tease him about who was he checking out, because we were because he would come over here and we'd sit in the garage and just talking about past time. Everything. And then one day he said, well, I'm going to send you a questionnaire. I'm sending you 10 questions, and I want you to answer them.
Mm.
I said, so am I the only one answering these questions? He said, I don't know about that. He said, but I want you to answer these 10 questions I have. And for the love of God, I can't even tell you one of the 10 questions he asked me. So I answered 10 questions, and then he said they were fine, he says, but he has to wait for the other 19.
No, he didn't.
So we just made a big joke out of it.
Sister Rakaya, so you did answer those 10 questions, right?
Yes.
And you gave them back to him. Was it a written response, verbal response? Was there some type of response, if you will, in regards to that? Was there a conversation in regards to that? Did you ask him why? was a follow-up conversation.
Well, we had already been, I had already been teasing about the other 17 women. He didn't have 17, but that's what he told me. So I was always teasing about the other 17 women. Then I asked him one day, I said, well, where am I on the list now? He said, I still haven't collected them all. I said, oh, okay. So we would just laugh and joke like that.
Yes.
Like
so he was just kind of leaving in suspense and everything.
Right.
And so you were actually having fun with this and all.
Yeah.
But now I got to ask you this question.
Sure.
At one point, did you really say, I'm taking Lawrence Shafsuddin serious in this regard? When did it dawn on you? Share it with
I
us.
I don't know. I really can't honestly answer that because I guess when we went on the trip together.
No, before then, what you did, she said, you made your mind up. So I just, you know, always teasing her. I said, no, I haven't made my mind up. Just want to know why it takes so long. I said, I got a long, I'll do this joke with, I got a long list to look at. I didn't have no list.
You didn't really have a list. Yeah,
I didn't have no list. I didn't have no list of sisters I was looking at.
You wasn't even looking. No, you know what I like about this here, you know, because you may have heard some keys rattling because I didn't have my little horn or a bell or anything. But in the True Love Recipe, when we get to the letter F, it is fun. And, you know, in True Love, it should be fun.
Yes.
You know, this is, I think, is so very, very important. And one of the things that both of you said, and especially you, Shamsuddin, in terms of laughter, you know, laughing, laughing together, laughing at each other, and, you know, laughing at yourself, a very, very important ingredient in terms of true love. And then this, you know, whereas this really lightens the tenseness or the tightness oftentimes that can become problematic in relationships and oftentimes even in the courtship. You know, you established it here, Karan, and I, we have what was called the premarital questionnaire, where we have about 9 categories, and we have questions under each category to actually help to promote good communication. And from what I'm hearing, you two didn't seemingly have any problems really communicating with each other. And the other thing I heard, I think is so important, is commonality. Talk a little bit, if you would, Shamsuddin, and then Rakaya, you can respond too, because it's a word, words are in an ality. It's a play on the word reality. So commonality is the reality of what you have in common, and because Allah wants us to have the tranquility, the compatibility that you were talking about. Allah says in the Quran that you may be able to dwell in tranquility.
Yes.
And so commonality, what you have in common, is vitally important. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, Shamsuddin.
Mark, before they answer that question, I want to go to one of our radio listening audience who's been on hold for a little while.
For hold. Okay, let's do that.
Because I did pause them. And I just want to remind all of our radio listening audience, if you have a question or a comment, you love what you're hearing, I'm loving what I'm hearing, push 1 on your phone and we can bring you into the conversation. But we do want to go to our dear sister, 773-449. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Your mic is open. Go right ahead and introduce yourself.
I think I know that voice.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Amir Muhammad Shahid.
Alaikum.
Sister Rakaya and Brother Lawrence. Which are the favor of the Lord that you deny of Allah's favor? Number one. I can so appreciate a couple like you two. You give so much inspiration and possibilities to maybe, I just recently got married in March. I praise this a lot. But just 100%. The idea of the frame of mind that you all had in engaging into this marriage and the fun that you're having, it gives hope. It gives hope. Because I know many of my friends, and I'm almost in the 70 club, who have given up. And I wish they could have been on this line tonight. Just the few things that you have said, it's been so inspirational. And I'm going to make sure they get the link to this show here, because there's no room for no possibility. But I see that a lot of that you all with, I'm sure it could be cherished by many if they just trust, believe, and have faith in Allah and not deny any of the favors. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. I wish I could meet you in person, because that spirit that you have, I tell you, I don't know what life is going to be like for me, but I pray Allah that if so happens, that, as I get older and something happens to one of us, that he's the one of us that always keep an open mind that Allah is in charge and don't ever deny any of the favors of Allah. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. May Allah continue to bless this union tremendously.
Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah. So, thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Abir. That was very heartwarming and quite sure heartfelt in regards to our special guest. I almost forgot the question, Brother Shamsuddin. Did you remember the question?
But wait, we have another hand.
We got another hand. Okay. Let's go to our radio listeners and see what they have to say.
Yeah, the questions on commonality. We're going to get to that. So let's go back to our radio listening audience, and we're going to go to 219-359. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. This is Chris and Vivian from South Carolina. We are retired sisters. Yes. Yes. And my question is about finances. I'm in the golden years also, so getting together with a person that you all discuss finances, and then where will you live? And I'm going to mute back out.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You can put one on your phone as you come out, and that'll take you out. All right, so
do you want me to ask
a question? Finances? Yes.
Okay. We did discuss that. I had moved out from my original house that I had a few years ago, and I moved in with my daughter over a period of time. So when I was getting ready to get, I was looking for a rent-style house, really. And this Ricardo once spoke up and said, "Hey, Lawrence, you don't need to do that. Things are very expensive. I got a house here. You can move in with me." And it's so funny, but that it still had a lot of work. My wife and myself, we found this house. She was in Tennessee. We found this house here in Atlanta for them to move here. We encouraged her and her husband, Charles, to move with us to Atlanta. And we found this house here. And here I'm here living with this Ricard now. She understands money and that, hey, I don't need to go out and buy nothing special for that. I had given my previous wife, we had a big, big house, and we didn't need it. And right now, in our golden years, we just need a small ranch house. house. She got a nice house. I decided to move in with her. Maybe it would probably surprise a lot of people and thought maybe she would move into my old house. But she was happy staying right here where we are. And that was a blessing. Money-wise, we both are retired. Like as you said, we're way past the time, 55 and 65 years old. So we're not poor, we're not rich, but we just, alhamdulillah, be able to do things we love to do. And we thank Allah over and over, God, over and over. I do that and constantly think to Allah and pray and be grateful to Allah. That we'll be an example for our community as couple.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we
I'm and I, yeah. I indeed that you are, you know, at the age and stage that you are in life. When Karan told me that she was going to invite you all in somewhat of your narrative, I was very excited and still very excited in terms of just hearing from the both of you. So do we have any other callers there, Karan?
Most of them believe how many
okay,
people
Okay, so I want to just get this
them.
Question in, and then what we're going to do, we're going to kind of switch over and get some of the insight and wisdom that that both of you have and that you can share with our radio listening audience on the True Love Recipe that we're offering up here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So, you know, the commonality, it came back to me in that regard. Mm-hmm. I heard you speak of it. Chef Sadine, how important is that? Because in just hearing the exuberance in your voice and in your wife's voice, Rekhaya's voice, this commonality is just really just resonating in terms of how you are able to just be in tune with each other and all. And I'm quite sure this is resonating with our radio listening audience. How important is that? You know, Shamsuddin, can you talk a little bit about that? And then we'll have Rekhaya to talk about the importance of commonality as a part of your relationship.
Yeah, you know, we was talking, we just having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just made I was visiting her one day, and I had a phone call I made. So I thought, hey, this is a private conversation. You know, Tina Turner, I think, was singing a song. By the way, I said, this is a private conversation. So she just went on into her house from the garage. So afterwards, I guess she wanted to know, what is this private conversation you got going on? So we tease each other about mm-hmm. private conversations. She may think I was talking to another sister. It was business. And we just laugh about it. I said, I got mm-hmm. a private going on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But you know, that's a good, you know, that's a good thing that you can actually, you know, enjoy each other and have fun with each other and have that type of, you know, understanding. And you know, by getting to really know that person, they really getting to know you. Yes. I think it's so very, very important. Because you want the understanding to always remain in that relationship in all and mm-hmm. not to be so sensitized and everything. So just being able to laugh and have fun, I think, is very, very important. And when I think this is something good for our radio listening audience to actually have. When is the last time that you had a good laugh with your spouse or just had fun?
Mm-hmm.
Good question. Yeah, go ahead. You want to say something else, Chef's name?
Oh, that's every day for us.
Just every day?
Okay. I'm talking about my mouth every day. I can tell you one joke. One day, I think when she was drinking a soda or something, and I took a sip off. She usually don't drink after nobody, don't eat after nobody. So I got her out of that part. So I give her some of my food that I had with my plate and I finished eating. I give her some of my drink.
So
we just laugh at it. It's just every day is something funny. Funny going on. Keep both of us laughing and don't take it to the heart and worry about the next day, how I'm going to deal with this, how I'm going to deal with that.
Oh, my God.
I see something that it's way out. I said, I'm on the line here. You see, we laugh about things. I come in with my clothes off. Sometimes I lay it on this way. She come and fold it up, put it in the drawer correctly, and then I come back and mess the drawer up. Then we just laugh about it. That's what a man do. You don't keep saying organized, so, and we just laugh about it.
I love Wagba. So, Sister Rekhaya, your response, my last question to you, your response in terms of commonality, how important is that to you? And obviously, part of your personality, the commonality, the reality of who you are as a person. Obviously, you had much in common in that regard. Share with our radio listeners, if you would, in terms of the importance of commonality, because you want that compatibility to be able not only to live together but be able to work together in the relationship, but also you want what it is that Allah promises in the Quran and His revelation, which is the tranquility, the peace there. Speak to us, if you would. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I look at it like this. You only have one life to live. Mm-hmm. Enjoy every moment of it. Don't make issues out of things that it doesn't, that it's not important. If it's important, if it's not important, why stress? I'm not a person, I don't like stress. I'll stay away as far away as I can from stress and just silly stuff that's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have an argument or a disagreement over a minor thing and make it a big thing, just like when he said private conversation. Okay, that's his personal thing. So I wasn't upset about it. I just left the garage and went in the house. Because people do private conversations. I wasn't thinking about whether he was talking to a female or a male or whoever. We laughed about it later, and it was okay. I didn't have a problem with it. You know, I'm not a controlling person, and I'm not trying to control what he does. That's his personal thing at that time, and I respected it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't make out of things that are not to be made issue out of.
Yeah.
I want to be happy, and I want him to be happy. I don't want to be walking on eggshells, and he's on eggshells. That's not a good relationship.
That's
we have
right.
to be open, honest, and know that he has a private spot. I may have a private spot. It's no big deal.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh,
Yeah, I think that really is what we're going to talk about tonight as well. We have about 5 or 6 people lined up to ask questions and make comments too. And
So let's go to the audience, Quran, and see what they have on their mind, and then after we finish, then we can come to the True Love Recipe and get their insights. So let's go to our radio listener audience. We like to hear from you, and I'm quite sure our honored guests, facilitators, would love to hear from you too, Quran.
Absolutely, and we are going to welcome 478-672. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air. 478-672.
Take yourself off of mute if you're on mute. You're live on IWDM Radio. Maybe they stepped away.
All right. We will go to, we'll go to 314-330. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is
Alaikum assalam. Know that voice. Who are you? Where are you calling?
Medina Waikil from St. Louis, Missouri. The show me state.
Yeah.
I am Dr. Medina. Welcome.
Thank you. I am so enjoying this show. It is so refreshing, particularly for singers. And it is something that sometimes singers are not only overlooked, but they're devalued. And we need a show like this to show that there is still value in singing.
Yes.
Have a very prominent place, not only in the community, but in the society.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a show like this, as I said, is refreshing. It really gives a lot of hope because many of us have misplaced hope due to the circumstances in our life. And this gives us a lot of hope if we just let go. If we just let go of our inhibitions and let go of our hang-ups and just trust in Allah.
Yes.
Assalamu
alaikum. Thank you, Dr. Medina Wakil. You know, when Dr. Medina said in terms of hope, he brought to mind, you know, one of the acronyms I use for hope, and that is having only positive expectation. Should not take away having positive expectations in your life. And so having Sister Rakaya and Brother Shamsuddin on with us, I agree with Dr. Medina wholeheartedly. If you lost hope, hope should be restored. And you, when you hear the exuberance in both of their voice and everything in terms of how they have established a relationship, and they're enjoying their relationship, they're enjoying each other, they're having fun, they're able to laugh together, laugh at each other, and laugh at themselves as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. You know, how would that look if you didn't have that in your relationship, regardless of what age you were? You see?
Absolutely.
So this is what the true love recipe is all about. And they're exemplifying that an age and stage of their life has not been a barrier. So I agree wholeheartedly, Dr. Medina. This actually should restore hope to those who seemingly are hopeless and not hopeful in that regard. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Go, Karan, what we got next?
Yes, we have some more. I'm going to ask Dr. Medina and those that have gone already if you could push one on your phone, that'll take you out of the queue. And now we're going to 75470. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Yes, I'm Dr. Swia Fareed. Assalamu alaikum. I'm residing here in Columbia, South Carolina.
Alaikum
assalam.
I just wanted to say I'm so glad to hear this couple on, Brother Shamsuddin and Sister Rakaya, because I, too, am interested in getting married again, but I had so many people saying, you don't need to get married again. You had one husband. He was a good husband. And I'm like, where are they coming from? What book are they reading? To Dr. Medina, I say, like Jesse Jackson used to say, keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive. But thank you to the couple, because I wish I had heard about this sooner. I was on another Zoom call, and I just happened to see it on my Facebook, and I came right in. But I wanted to share it with some other people that are experiencing the same issues about getting remarried because they are older. I don't know why it's such a problem. They, like Dr. Medina was saying, people devalue us as seniors.
We have
a lot to offer, you know, to the younger generation, because had my husband still be living, we would still be together. We've been together since fourth grade.
Oh,
wow.
My God. Childhood sweetheart.
Yes.
I love
it.
I'm there.
Yes.
And that's not something we see too much these days either. So, alhamdulillah, how many years would that have made for the two of you?
About 53.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us. And
well, thank
Karan
you.
And
thank
I, we
you
love
for having this program.
Honestly, to listen each and every week here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So, don't be no stranger. Stick and stay. Don't stray away.
Yes, push one on your phone as you come out of the queue. And now we're going to 314-335. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
From the STL.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Brother Kevin. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri.
Brother Kevin. Your voice is fading. Speak more into the mic. Get closer to the mic and elevate your voice a little bit. We can barely hear you.
I said it's very a good blessing to have them on.
Yes.
And it's good to have something like this to be able to hear and know that it's possible that it can last the way it lasts. And God knows best, and he's the best of planners, and he knows who should be together and who shouldn't be together, and it's all a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I like to just say, carry on, and I send my appreciation to you guys. And I'm a young guy. Like I said, I'm just a beginning practicing Muslim myself, and it's good to hear it. Kind of put me in mind of Prophet Abraham, you know what I'm saying? And it's still working. So, you know, just keep your trust in Allah, and I hope my marriage will work out and last this long myself.
But thank you so much, Brother Kevin. Yeah, for calling in. And just want to say to our radio listeners, Brother Kevin, he was part of the Quranic reading group this past Ramadan. And as he stated, he's a baby in Al-Islam. And many of us are still babies since we're still growing. And knowing is growing, so he's always inquiring in this productions like we have here. He tunes in and listens in. So thank you so much, Quran, and we appreciate you dearly. So we ask that you continue to listen here to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Thank you. Press 1. Kevin, as you go out the queue so we can keep the studio boy clear. Quran, we got any more?
That's
got the hand.
I'm going to go back to the caller 478-672. Giving you another opportunity, push 1 on your phone. I'm sorry. You're on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. 478-672.
As-salamu alaykum, Haji Lala.
Haji Lala, you have a question or a comment?
I do. Well, somewhat of a statement as well. I know of a couple, as the brother was saying, he had a list of women that he was interested in.
I think he was joking.
Yes.
You know, not really. Now, you know, that was his way of, I think, in terms of just having fun with her in that regard. But at that point, I think he really wanted to get to know her more, because she even acknowledged that there was 10 questions that he asked her, and she said, "Well, who else has that list of 10 questions and stuff?" I think that even in that courtship, it was about just having fun with each other. So I just, if you missed that, I just wanted to alert you to that.
Right. Yeah. I heard that, and they're so cute, I'm going to send them a hug. I'm going to lie. This brother said he had numerous sisters lined up. And so the sister said, "Well, what number am I?" So he said, "Well, just stay in line." And he's going to go over some other sisters, and then he'll, you know, come back her way. Well, when he did decide to choose, it didn't last not even a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was somewhat toxic, so it didn't last long at all. So then she calls him again. So she says, "Well, okay, it didn't work out. Well, what number am I now?" So he says, "Well," so he gave her some other kind of answer. And so that was that. So then she says she just going to leave that alone and let him. If he decides, then he can just call her, but she's available. Then I'm hearing another sister, she's in her late 70s, and she says she talks to a brother every now and then, but the brother says something like, "Sister, you know, if you need a shoulder, you can lean on my shoulder." Does that sound like he's interested in her, or do you think?
What was that again? Now, my dear sister, what, you're asking a question?
Yes. The brother was talking with a sister, and they had some, you know, they've been talking off and on. But
okay.
One of the days, she said something, and he said, well, I have this strong shoulder of mine. If you need a shoulder to lean on, you can lean on mine. So I'm wondering, is he talking?
Well, this is what we say here on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. The first thing is, and this is all in all seriousness, we distinguish the difference between courtship and dating. This is for all of us as Muslims, age barrier or anything. Dating, we don't use that language from an Islamic perspective. Courtship, we can use that language. Courtship has an objective. The objective is to be married. And we have to state our niyyah. In other words, the intention has to be stated in regards to both, that they both want to actually be married. They're looking for a partner. And, you know, this couple here, they said from the very beginning that they were seeking companionship. They wanted companionship. But they also stated that, Sister Rakaya stated, I want to do things right. You know, I don't want to do things wrong in terms of getting companionship. So this is very, very important. And the verbiage that it is that we use, we have to be God conscious. Words make people, you know, in that regard. Now, I don't know about this relationship, but if it's off and on, then we have to ask the question, why is it off if it's truly on? You see, in that regard. And so at some point, when you say courtship, just like when you go to court, the two of you have to arrive at a decision, a judgment, in terms of whether or not this courtship could lead to a partnership, you see. So we actually have what is called a premarital questionnaire that will help in the communication, help in the conversation, to extrapolate information. And we have four prerequisites that those persons would utilize in that courtship. The first being sincerity. The Prophet Muhammad said that religion is sincerity. The next being honesty and integrity. The Prophet Muhammad was known as As-Siddiq and El-Amin. That he was truthful, he was not a liar, so you can't just lie, you know, in that. And he was honest, he was trustworthy, and this is before he became the prophet, those of you who know the surah of the prophet. And finally, transparency, and this is in 49:12 of the Quran, where Allah says, and avoid suspicion as much as possible, you know. And Imam Muhammad, many years ago, in terms of teaching, say, how do you avoid suspicion? By being transparent. So this is the prerequisites for the premarital questionnaire that we have, and it's available for anybody that wants it. Or if Allah bless you with a potential mate, you can actually go over those questions, and we recommend that you do it first and foremost for yourself, and that person do the same. And then you come together, and you can ask each other a question, providing that you use those four things as a prerequisite in being sincere, honest, a person of integrity, and transparency. And so I don't know that if in fact that was prevalent there in that relationship, but the off and on is not a good thing, because at some point you will know, they will know. And if you're sincere, Allah will help you to know. In that regard, if you really want to know. I could say more, but I think I said enough in regards to that.
And I just want to add to that. I just want to add to that because, and Mark, you took the words out of my mouth when you talked about the premarital questionnaire. So we have a premarital questionnaire for people to use as they're going through the courtship process. You've heard me on this program talk about the fact that you're on a fact-finding mission. And so for this sister, she just gathered some facts. When she hears this brother not really being sincere with his intentions, it sounds like, to just say, I have a shoulder for you to lean on. You know, but what other facts has she garnered and gathered through this process?
Yeah.
If she's going through the process correctly. But even that comment gives you some facts that you can use. Because some things, you know, it's not always in what they say. It's also in what they don't say. So you have to be really listening to the body language and the words behind the words.
Meta message.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
You
so, you know, and I don't want to read, you know, try to read into that. We always say Allahu Alam, that Allah is. I mean, Allah is the best knower, but if you are really close with the sister and you engage in conversation, then I think her aunt and I would agree, have her to tune in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab so you can learn these type of things. You're never too old to learn. We'll always be a student, always a lifelong learner in terms of what we think that we may know that we don't know. But if we think that we know, then this will shut us out in terms of getting to know. Knowing is growing, but we want to know from an Islamic perspective and not from Western society where they just play games. You know, you're not serious. See, because religion is sincerity. And even though our couple here tonight have fun with each other, but they also said, and that should go not become unnoticed, that they're sincere about their religion. They do all those things together. They pray together. They fast together. You know, they are believers in Allah. You know, somebody that, and they said early on that that person would love the deen. Now, that's something we could talk about for the rest of the time for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab tonight. To love that's very important, very important to love the deen, because when you have your ups and downs or you have a challenge in the relationship, you got one person that loves the deen, the other one, they're just operating on what they think or what they feel, what their opinion is. How is that going to work? You're not going to, Allah says where you differ, Allah says, refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. That means that you have to go to the Quran. You have to go to the Quran. You have to go to the life example of the Prophet. But if you both love the deen, then you don't have any problems doing that. And Imam Muhammad once said that was asked a question to him when he became the leader, and he was known as the Supreme Minister, Brother Supreme Minister. What is your greatest challenge as a leader? He said, to put Allah first and last. What did he mean? That Allah has the first word and has the last word. That's a lot of insight and wisdom in that. But that's very important. Because if your word is going to be the first word and the last word, you ain't going to have a real stable relationship. I'll stop there.
All right. Thank you, Haji Lala. Go ahead and push one as you come out. And we're going to go to 678-575. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air. 678-575. You're on mute.
Take yourself off on mute.
Oh, okay. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Khalila Muhammad, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I have first I wanted to congratulate you, Karan, and the other brother. And this is my first time calling, and I just am amazed at all the hats that you wear, Karan, and you're doing a beautiful job. You both and the dawah that you're doing. This is about time that we've had a program like this, and I just wanted to say my hat's off to you both. So I have a question and, well, two questions. First one is, have you, because this is my first time listening, have you listed the ingredients for the recipe, the love recipe, the true love recipe?
Well, what we're doing, we're taking it, this is potentially, this is going to be a book. I've been working on for years. Allah bless me with the idea, the concept years ago when I always hear love, you know, how people just use love so loosely. And oftentimes it was being used from a Western society perspective. And I personally believe that as Muslims and as Mu'min, that we should always be looking for the Islamic perspective when it is that we look for love and everything. And as Imam Muhammad said, that in definition is direction, and I also added correction in terms of that. So we want to rightly define love, and Quran did an excellent job about, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago when we had the introduction by way of the Quran in terms of defining love from that perspective. And then we want to look at the qualities and characteristics, because love is an action word. It's good to just say to someone that you love them, but it's even better to exemplify those qualities and characteristics and those things that actually show that you really, truly love and that you're being guided and directed. This is why Allah says he will put it into your hearts, not the, the physical heart, but the pure intentions, the motivation and desire that a person have to display that love. And marriage is the womb of love in terms of how the gestation period, how it grows and how it develops, the maturation of it. And so, you know, when we start talking about all the benefits of the sacred institution of marriage, it becomes a womb for it to actually grow. This is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said it's one half of the religion. Despite all the things that we may think is very important, then we have to ask ourselves, why did the Prophet say that? This becomes a social responsibility that brings about the maturity. You know, how much would a man have to do, or how much progress would human society actually would have made without the sacred institution of marriage? For most men, you could almost live under a tent be good enough. But it is the social responsibility that men, we take on by way of the Quran in terms of what our role and responsibility is. Okay, somebody muted me.
Good point,
okay.
Good point.
So, alhamdulillah, I'll stop there.
Second question.
Yes, ma'am.
How much, or I guess I would say, how much do you disclose when you're in the courtship process as far as honesty of your, say, if you're, this is a second marriage for you, how much should you disclose?
That premarital questionnaire, my dear sister, and to give you information how you can obtain it. And what I will say, in having my fingerprint on there, if you will, along with others, Sister Munira Habil and Quran, you know, since we've been here on IWDM Radio, it's constructed in a way, in a manner that at any point, any question could possibly be a deal breaker, but the questions that have to be entertained, the more personal ones, are pretty much at the end. And, and so we give you instructions in terms of how you should use that for a potential mate. And this will help in terms of, as a guideline for the communication, the conversation, to extrapolate information. Quran, like I said, fact-finding in that regard. So that would be a helpful tool to get. And we can make sure that's available to and for you.
Yes, and anybody that wants that premarital questionnaire, all you need to do is email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com, and we will email that out to you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Push one on your
phone. Please continue to listen.
Continue
to listen. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Continue to listen. Thank you so much. All right. So back to you, Mark. I know you had a question for them. They were talking about commonality, and I really wanted us to get to this thing about boundaries because that's what I heard.
Okay.
When
we can get there. They did, Karan.
I want her to. I want her to expound a little bit on that because when she said that she talked about the fact that she doesn't like issues to get in the way. And, you know, we talk about boundaries. Boundaries is setting, you know, this parameter of, you know, what's safe and what's not safe to travel into, conversations to travel into. So, you know, the thing you asked our audience last week was, should there be boundaries? And if so, what should it look like? So I'd love to go back to our couple just to talk about that concept of boundaries because I would think it looks different in an older marriage than it would in a younger marriage.
Okay. That's a good starting point there. So you want to go – Let's go to Rakaya, make you first, and then so we always have ladies first, sisters first here, and then we can go to Brother Shamsuddin and get his insight on boundaries. Should there be boundaries? This is in the True Love Recipe, and, of course, I had some things in mind myself when I put that as an ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
How would it, without having boundaries, my dear sister Rakaya?
Okay. Well, I'll put it like this. I think if you speak honestly on most of all of your subjects, boundaries depends on what boundaries could possibly be that you couldn't express it to your mate.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so. The more honest and upfront we are about anything, there is no secret. There is nothing that can come and knock you side of the head later on. So it depends on what you consider boundaries.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. I mean, you know, that's why we got you on, to get your insight and your wisdom in terms of how you see these ingredients in the True Love Recipe. Did you have more that you want to say, Rakaya?
Yeah, I was just going to say, because the more upfront and not trying to hold secrets, you don't have to have that to be concerned.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what I'm hearing that, sometimes people, they have that, and so this is becomes a boundary in and of itself to keep things concealed and hidden from each other. So the honesty, the integrity, and the transparency obviously should there and should be maintained not only in the courtship phase but also in the sacred institution of marriage. Shamsuddin, what you got to say about that, bro? Boundaries.
I'll go along with my wife. She, that's one thing we did. Have to be truthful up front. Another thing you want to be concerned about with our age is your health condition. You know, every problem I may have, you know, I let her know, you know, what's going on with my health. And she did the same thing with me. And not holding secrets because it's going to be a big problem down the road a year or two later. He'll a child come up and say, "Hey, this is my mother," or my son come up and say, "Hey, this is my father," something problem, and then also can be a problem financially down the road. So these things, that holding secret, it can eliminate a problem, and you can have a stronger marriage down the road. You can discuss it and talk about it, and you get to know your mate. You got to trust your mate.
Mm-hmm.
So, inshallah, Allah will bless both of you all.
Alhamdulillah, I agree wholeheartedly with you about Shams Sadiq. Quran, I know you got something to say about boundaries before we go to the next B in the True Love Recipe. Quran, how do you see that? And we want to say to our radio listening audience, we want to get you in on this too. So how do you see boundaries? And should it be in the True Love Recipe? Would it be in your True Love Recipe, Quran?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that there are healthy boundaries and unhealthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is important for us to be mindful of. So a boundary then is really behavior that we find acceptable and tolerable and behavior that's unacceptable. And so that's to be discussed. And it varies from couple to couple as well, individual to individual. You know, there are certain things that some of us may allow that others may not allow into our space or into our lives, and that's where you set your boundaries. So I think in a relationship, it is important to have boundaries, and we have heard couples say, and as Sister Rakaya said, you know, there's certain things that it doesn't stir you, and
you
need time away and time together, and that's a part of the boundaries. It's like, this is my time for me, my special time, and then we have time together. So I think that's important to establish in a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Just want to say this here, because we always want to consult the Quran in regards to many of these ingredients, that are natural ingredients, because we want the true love to remain a true love and genuine. One of the things that I just want to offer, because we want to get some insight on the other B's that it is that I have in this true love recipe that Allah has blessed me with, is that Allah says, do not refer to each other with nicknames. You know, not just, you know, offensive nicknames, you know. So, yeah, it's not that they're saying just nicknames in general, because there are names that are like pet names. For a long time, I've said this on the Courtship and Marriage, or at least the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Salal Dean, is that I always observe my grandmother and grandfather. And this is a true story. My grandmother was always baby, and he was always honey. Even going to school, I remember the teacher asking me my grandparents' name, and I said baby and honey, because I never heard them refer to each other even by name. It was always baby and honey. And of course, these are pet names, and this is much accepted, you know, in our way of life. But Allah says, in terms of this is a boundary, offensive nicknames. I'm just giving one example of this. And so when we give these type of assignments in terms of the True Love Recipe, you might want to check out your concordance and see what it is Allah says. And Allah says in the Quran that we are not to transgress boundaries, but in his ayats, in his instructing signs, it is the one that has created us, as Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam has said, he is the one that will guide us even when it comes to boundaries. And I could say more, but for the sake of time, we want to go to this one. And this will be an interesting be here. And we'll start with you this time, Brother Shams Sadiq, in terms of basic things, not big things, but basic things in the True Love Recipe. Can you give us some insight? I think you kind of did in your prelude, just some basic things that you can do that will be exemplary of love. What is it that a husband could do? Some basic things. Talk to us, Pastor Dean.
Yeah, it's a number of things you can do.
like serving her certain times as the meal is getting ready. You can assist her and help her with the plates. Giving her tea. You know, these things mean a lot to her. Bring your flowers to her. I'll call her up and check on her. Hey, how you doing? How you doing today? You know, if you're at work or out, just check back. And that's your love and concern about each other. And, you know, if I go to out too, I call her back. She'll call me. What's going on? How you making up? How you feeling? You know? That's your love and concern. She'll come by me 10 times a day. She'll just check on me. How you doing? Did you need anything? And that's where you love and concern is not for a 1 week, but it's going on for 7 months, and I hope it's going for many more years to come. And that's one thing. Take out to eat to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some sport event she may love, activity she may love, loves. So. We got so much in common, you know. We just love the same type food, you know. We just have it all. Sometimes I get in the kitchen, cook a little something up, you know, and she loves it.
Can you cook, Chef Sadine? Can you cook? Can you burn?
I burn a little bit, and she loves
it. Not burn it up now. I'm talking about burn.
Not burn it up. Because it tastes so good.
I'm just having some fun with you, brother. Come on, Sister Rakaya, talk to us about, basic things. It's not always the big things, but it's the basic things. And how important is this to have in the True Love recipe? And how does basic things look? And would it be in your True Love recipe, Sister Rakaya?
I have experienced so many nice things dealing with Lawrence that he just surprises me so often, and I do thank and appreciate that very, very much. He really looked out for me, and that's where I, you know, it's like it's not all about him. It's about us. You know, and I appreciate the fact that in the mornings we get up for prayer, he'll get up first. So when I come in the kitchen, my little plate is already fixed for me. My coffee water's on. And we just, the day starts that way. And that's important for me, to have somebody looking out for me as a wife, whereas the wife is normally always looking out for the husband.
I love that, Sister Rakaya, this, the basic thing. And then just from your perspective, let's flip the script here. Anything that you want to give to our radio listening audience in terms of basic things that perhaps that you're thinking of that he may like or what that come to your mind that you may do, Rakaya?
Like what? I mean, you know, I may do like what?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking you any just basic things. We're not talking about big things.
So
oftentimes the misnomer is that you have to prove. In Western society, the thinking is the bigger the gift, the more you pay for it, the bigger the diet, all those type of things does not really express really love, but those basic things, those thoughtful things, if you will. I'm just asking anything that you can share with the radio listening audience.
See, that's what, you know, my thing was, like my husband came home one day, he bought me a bouquet of roses.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, oh, thank you. That is so sweet. I said, well, what's the occasion? He said, just because.
Wow.
I mean,
you know, that was just such a special thing because it wasn't for anything special. But it was just that he wanted, it was special that he went out of his way to think of me while he was out there and bought me a bouquet of flowers.
Alhamdulillah.
And he does a lot of, you know, for him, he does a lot of special things that I would not have thought he would do it. But that's just a part of his nature, though.
Mm-hmm. Hello, wife. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Because
yes,
he'll tell me in a heartbeat. He'll tell me in a heartbeat, you're working too hard. You're doing this here. You're doing, because I've been by myself for 14 years, and I've just got my little system going. I do what I feel like doing. If I don't feel like doing it, I don't do it. You know? So
yeah.
He has to sit with me with that situation. Because if I don't feel like doing it, I don't do it. But he's
so,
got my, he has my back, though. And that's what I like
about
it. He got my back.
So he slows you down when he thinks you're overdoing it. You just, hey, you know, sit down, take a rest, take a break, you know. So he's looking out. He's looking out for it. Those are the type of things that we're talking about in the True Love Recipe. They don't have to be big things, but they're basic, they're fundamental things. It don't cost you a lot of money to be thoughtful, considerate, sensitive. In that regard. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
And it's also nice that he's not sitting there waiting for me to wait on him. I'll come in the kitchen and he's gotten everything almost set up. All I got to do is sit down and eat.
Alhamdulillah. I know the sisters are smiling. The sisters are smiling out there and saying yes. They probably going to get their husbands now and say yes. We need to listen to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab to understand some of these basic fundamental things that could be done, you know. And then, you know, this goes to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, too. We never want to leave the Rasul of Allah out, the Messenger of Allah, as it has been authenticated in his life, that he was often seen in the kitchen.
Right.
Doing domestic work, sweeping the floor, washing the dishes, and being helpful. And was even asked, you know, in terms of who was the prophet at home. And one of his wives, I can't remember, pardon me for not remembering, but the most important thing was is that she said, he serves me.
He serves me.
You see, that's very important. Yes.
And that is very important. And people should take that really serious, because I'm not serving him all the time. He serves me, so we do things together.
Yes.
And it's a better situation, because, you know, you can sometimes do things haughty. You know, you don't want to do it, but you're doing it. So that's the same way with him, you know. But like I say, I thank Allah for this relationship that we have, because it really has balanced us out in so many ways that we never even thought about.
Yes, ma'am. Now, this is the other B word in the True Love Recipe, and I'm going to start with you this time, Rakaya. I'm going to stay right here with you, and then we're going to go to Shamsuddin in terms of his response. Bonding. We often hear that word, and sometimes, you know, there is not really a bond. But in the True Love Recipe of mine, it is an ingredient that is much needed and necessary. And I would just give you just an acronym that I've used over the years for bonding. It's building on natural development and nurturing the growth. Whatever is natural in Allah's creation, and he's put that in the fitra, the original nature of all of us as human beings, to want to love and to be loved and to give love. So bonding, building on natural development or what naturally develops in the sacred institution of marriage in nurturing the growth, would that be a part of your True Love Recipe, the bonding in the sacred institution of marriage, Rakaya?
Yes, it is. We bonded very well. You know, we have, it's almost, and it's weird to us at times, we almost think and act alike.
Is it scary sometimes to you or Rakaya?
Yes,
y'all think so much?
It really does, because sometimes I'll think of something as soon as I say it. He then already taken care of it.
Oh, that is so sweet. Oh, that's so sweet. Yes, please continue. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but like I say, but he's that kind of person, though, because he's always been a gentleman. Because, you know, when we went on Hodge, my husband was still living during that time. That was in 89. And we, the four of us, plus Wally, all of us went on Hodge at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized it, but he was feeding me the whole time he was there because he would bring his wife so much, and then she couldn't eat it, so she and I was sick.
So you were getting fed too.
Yes, so when I was, when I travel, I don't eat very much.
Okay.
So I had told my husband that I will get my food because they had food service down in the downstairs. They had,
mm-hmm.
they had a restaurant there where you could pick stuff up. So it wasn't really necessary for me to purchase anything because Lawrence, me, and Edith together.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. That's beautiful. Okay, Shamsuddin, bonding. How will that look in your chula recipe? Would it be there? Would it be present in the true love recipe if you had one?
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would. We are so much alike. I call her, she's a pirate. She wouldn't do the same thing I do. We are so much alike. I say, so it's just wonderful. We've really, really been blessed. We are bond together on just for everything. It's not just me. It's both of us. It's not my decision. It's not her decision. I don't just do everything on myself. I want to get her opinion about it and make sure she's happy also.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very, very important that each one of y'all get the input, each married couple should get important input on each other of what they're like and try to satisfy them to a compromise and everybody be happy.
Yes.
You want to be happy.
That's right. You know, Shamsuddin, and you know, once again, to go to something from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he had many hadiths, sahih hadiths, really sound and firm, where he began the best of you, the best of you. And one of the things that he said was that the best of you is the one that is best to your wife in terms of the treatment of your wives. And so obviously he was addressing the men, you know, in that regard. And, you know, when it was said that certain things that you actually were doing, and of course she would be happy with you in terms of that. And these were not, to you, really big things. They were just basic things, thoughtful things in that regard. So you always want to be, as the prophets say, the best of you. The best of you is the best to your wife in treatment. The best of you is the one that's most beneficial to your family. The best of you is the one that you know is most beneficial to society or humankind. So you want to be the best of you, as the prophet has said in that regard. And, you know, one of the things that both of you talked about that can't be underscored in terms of friendship. So you want to build on what naturally develops. And, of course, the friendship was established many years ago in that regard. But as you get to know each other, and once you take your vows and you get to really, truly know each other, it's intensified. You want to build on what naturally develops. And what naturally develops, if you don't start out in terms of being friends and establishing friendship, in the courtship, that should naturally develop. And the natural development, you want to be able to build on that, whereas the goal is to become the best friend of each other in that regard.
Yes.
And many, I've heard couples, and I'm quite sure Karan have and you have also, when they're asked in terms of how you see your mate, oftentimes they will say, that they mate, that's my best friend. I mean,
okay.
That's my best friend. You see, so
yeah.
Not only your soulmate, but your helpmate, workmate.
Right.
I mean, teammate, workmate, lovemate. But that is my best friend. And I think ultimately when you can say that, you can see many, many years together in that bonding, building on natural development and nurturing the growth in the love that you have in the sacred institution. I want to go to Quran.
Yeah.
Quran, I know you got something to say about bonding. Would it be in your true love recipe? And want to say, our radio listening audience, you still... We got a few minutes here. Would that be in your true love recipe? And for our radio listening audience, some of the things you heard tonight, please press 1. And if you could, would succinctly want to share anything that may have resonated in a general way, a specific way, before we have to sign off. So, Quran, what would you say about bonding? Yes or no? Would that be a good ingredient?
Most definitely. And I think one of the first things that came to my mind when
mm-hmm.
I thought of this word is Surah 3, Ayat 200, where Allah tells us that we are supposed to strengthen each other and that we should come together and bond more, and that in doing that is where we find our prosperity. And so I think as people, we should be bonding. And most definitely as couples. And, you know, we have over and over again iterated that marriage is the bedrock of community life.
Oh, yes.
And being the bedrock of community life, it models for us what we should see in our community. So we should see more bonding in our community. We should see more of us building, as you said, on those natural developments that Allah has given us inside of our own selves. And what I find is too many of us in our communities, we work so hard to make people look like what we want them to look like, and to fashion someone in the way we think they should be, to be, and I'm doing the air quotes, a good Muslim. But if we accept people for who they are and bond with the beauty that Allah has put in them, I think we grow and we expand in a different way, and our communities are healthier. Our communities are able to grow exponentially because we're able to really see the beauty of one another, and that's a part of that bonding, is appreciating what Allah has put in each person. So that's my take on bonding.
Alhamdulillah. And so we're right at the top of the hour, so I want to give our honored guest special guest facilitator tonight, done an excellent job. So, Sister Rakaya, I'm going to start with you. What would you like to leave with the IWDM radio listenership here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab? What would you like to leave with them? Any words of wisdom you'd like to share? Give you a minute and a half or so to express that to our radio listening audience, if you would.
I would like to say to any brother or any sister, once you get to a certain age, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't waste time.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am. Well, we want to thank you, Sister Rakaya, for the insight and wisdom that you have shared. And, you know, just keep on thinking about Dr. Medina, you know, in terms of hope. I think it was, what's his name there, Jesse Jackson, keep hope alive. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Brother Shamsuddin, your parting words, what you'd like to leave with the IWDM radio listening audience here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I agree with both of you all, and I think we as Muslims, we should really get into the Quran, and as you spoke throughout the program, and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessing upon us. You follow him, prophets, hey, you can't go wrong. It correct the wrongness that you are doing, and it makes you a better individual, and more blessings from Allah will come to us, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, very well said. We concur 100%. I want to thank you. for accepting that invitation, my beloved sister Karan Shakir. And we want you to know that you both have an open invitation here on IWDM Radio and to the Course of Marriage Learning Lab. We look at having you back very near future, and hopefully you will entertain that entertainment, but you have an open invitation here. So, Karan, want to go to you, and I know you have some parting remarks, and also to let our radio listening audience know, who talked about this, premarital questionnaire, how they can get that, and how they can get in touch with us beyond the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. Karan?
Absolutely. First, I want to thank you, Brother Lawrence and Sister Rakaya, for saying yes and joining us and being, as I knew you would be, such lively spirits, because you bring so much to our Atlanta community. I knew that our national radio listening audience would really love to hear from you and to benefit from you, and we've seen that. So thank you very much for accepting the call.
Welcome.
And alhamdulillah. And to you, Mark, as always, thank you for being my co-host. And to our listening audience, thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. And we know that you could have been many places, and you chose to be with us. We're especially grateful to those who pushed one on your phone and chose to join us, and those who did not, and you benefited from them. Alhamdulillah, thank you so very much. And this is what we want you to do, dear listeners. We want you, if you're not already following us and our friend on Facebook and Instagram, please do that right now. Go ahead and go to Bring It to the Lab. Go ahead and follow us and like us on there. And also go to one of our posts. If you listen to today's program and you find a post about today's program, make a comment. Mention one thing you learned or benefited from listening to our wonderful couple this evening. We would appreciate that. If you want the premarital questionnaire or you have recommendations for future programming, email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Again, we thank you, and we look forward to next Thursday, same time, same place. I'm going to let Mark bring you all that information. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. I want to thank the radio listening audience tonight, because without you, there couldn't and wouldn't be an IWDM Radio, and most certainly this platform in terms of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as many other platforms that we actually have here on IWDM Radio. And we also want to thank Karan Shakir always for insight and wisdom that she shares each and every Thursday. And a special, special thanks go to our special guest facilitators tonight, Sister Rakaya and Brother Shamsuddin, for joining us here. Want to give the homework assignment. Yeah, I know you thought I was going to forget the homework assignment. Not. Next week, we're going to be looking at C3 in the True Love Recipe. And so you might want to just jot that down so you can get a head start on what C3 actually is. It is going to be on compassion, care, and communication. So, you know, this is an opportunity. You have a whole week to think some thought about that, maybe do some research in terms of that. Anything you want to get from the Quran, you understand, to see if, in fact, that would be in your true love recipe. We're inviting you as our special guest, our radio listening audience here for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Want to say the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. And those who are immobilized can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Salatul Jumu'ah with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. It starts at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Upcoming production, stay tuned for Saturday, as it will be the Ramadan sessions of Imam W.D. Muhammad. The host will be Imam Mikhail Sayer, and he will have guests So stay tuned to IWDM Radio. We look to have him at the round table in terms of this new production that will be coming to IWDM Radio. The longest running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam, Imam Mikhail Fayer. That happens each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, my good brother and friend for a long time, the very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha, as he hosts a production called ABC, like 1, 2, 3. It is Al-Islam-based conversation. That's what ABC stands for, Al-Islam-based conversation. And it's a relatively new production here. You want to have a conversation with more than 1, 2, 3, 4 or more. So you tune in each and every Monday. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, as they have an outstanding learning lab, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, in terms of they teach about the science of your health and the science of you as Allah has created you. And that's each and every Tuesday. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The Sister Learning Lab, to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that would be the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished host, Dr. Patricia Slaudin. She joins yours truly, and Mark Shaheed, each and every Wednesday, and she won't be with us next Wednesday. She's on assignment elsewhere, but never fear, Rashid Salam will be sitting in here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And yours truly, Mark Shaheed. I host that each and every Wednesday, where I bring very distinguished, esteemed guests to the roundtable inside the community, Imam Muhammad, outside the community, and topics that are pertinent to us, the community. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 7 p.m. Central, and it's 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal, as it has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many, many years. So make sure you keep your subscription, and if you have the wherewithal, think about a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, maybe one of the senior citizen pioneers in our community, or maybe your local library where many can read it. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.